for AFU.
Fight for the world, Marine. For tail, hell, the full conference. It's our next victory. AFU. ASU.
You grew up in this town. You're an alum. When you look around and you see this moment, what's it like for you?
It's kind of crazy. I was one of these guys. I was the one.
Yeah, you were, baby. Yeah, you were.
That's my coach. That's my coach.
Awesome job, coach.
Me
incredible.
Fork up, Kenny. Come on. Come on.
Unbelievable.
Oh God.
The chorus on the field.
I have never missed college. And Sparky's just in the middle of that.
He's there.
Sparky's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. You good at football? What?
Sparky's literally like, dude, I'm way too drunk to be here right now. He's already
Sparky's
had
it. Like, Sparky's like, anybody?
Casa, you don't see me, but I'm thinking of Casa.
Hey, how many drinks do we think Kenny Dillingham had at Casa after
Oh my god.
After the game last night?
I mean, he probably got at least like 5 free ones.
I was going to say, how many did he pay for? Probably none.
I don't think he paid
probably
for
none,
anything.
Yeah. Every drink was probably paid for by someone else.
Regardless of what bar he goes to, he can go to Fuzzy's, he can go to Casa, he can go to Fat Tuesday, he can go to
Low Key.
The IP. Anything is paid for him in Tempe tonight or last night.
Yeah.
Just for the rest of the season, honestly.
Yeah.
Especially I have never wanted to be in college. I have never wanted to be in college more than I was last night. Like seeing that on the field, I was like, what? Yeah, that is exactly.
I was telling Ben before you got on here, Jeff, that I don't think I've ever had a more serious case of FOMO than last night.
Mm-hmm.
But it was real. It was very real. Yeah. I'm very jealous of all of our friends who are still at ASU.
There we go. There's your still image right there.
That's the thumbnail. That's not the thumbnail. Yeah. I don't want it. God, just the fact that he's like, I was doing this! And he just like goes into the crowd and just disappears. You don't see him.
This game was one of those very special moments where all of ASU started to tune in during the third quarter. Like the first half, like I know a lot of us were probably keeping track of it, but when the third quarter happened and we were up, I know there were those casual fans that don't watch football that tuned in like, okay, wait, I got to see what's happening.
Something
now.
Might happen here tonight.
And then you see Scataboo do that huge, like 50-yard run for the end zone. And you just know this is going to be the night. It's going to be the night that we stormed the field.
Why didn't we get it? What did we beat Washington and we stormed the field?
Yeah.
They were top 25.
We lost to Eastern Michigan.
Oh, fair. Yeah.
So it was like 2 weeks. There was no one there. And it was like a really weird.
Yeah. There were puddles of people. And I was one of those people.
That was the Sean Iguana. Yeah. It's in the intro. We saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the Sean Iguano era. Remember that?
Yes, yeah, it was.
It was. That was the start of the Sean Iguano era.
That was the first. That was Sean Iguano's first win. Yeah.
Yeah. That was Trenton's first win too.
Yes, it was. Yeah. That was his first game, I believe. Yeah. Yeah.
What a trooper! Okay, let's start there. What a trooper, Trenton Bourget. Like, hometown kid, stays close. He's like, I don't want to enter the transfer portal. I don't really care that much. I want to stay for my hometown team. He stays loyal. I need to find me somebody like Trenton Bourget. You know what I mean? All of those flashy offers, all of those like, hey, you could be our starting quarterback. Hey, you could be our this, you could be our that. He said, nah, man, I'm here for the culture. I'm here to fork the hell up.
We're forking.
We're forking. We're
forking it. Fork it.
Fork them.
Fork, yeah.
But what a night. Honestly, I'm with you guys. I wish we were still in college and, you know, watching that game on a Friday night nonetheless. And I know there's actually a couple of people that are joining the show right now that want to talk about this with us. So I will allow them to join us here in just a moment. But I want to get your read on this. If we were still there, you think we would storm the field and would we have a chance at the goalpost?
Oh, yeah, no. I'd make sure that no security guard got in my way.
The goalpost.
I'm single-handedly dragging those goalposts throwing one into Tempe Town Lake and dragging the other one to the top of a mountain.
Yeah.
It's just gonna
I was going to say the goalpost is going downhill. That's
yeah, going downhill straight into the lake, though. Yeah. It's going to do a U-turn on Mill, go all the way down towards like Tempe High School,
yeah,
and loop back towards the lake. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, if Vandy's got the river, we've also got a river. It's just a little.
It's not a mile away, though, like Vandy was. Like, it's just around the corner. So,
why didn't they take the goalpost? That's the thing.
They were guarding it. They were guarding it with their lives.
They took them down before the students even stormed the field.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, it was a total, like, total bum move by President Dr. Crow, man.
Hey, President Dr. Crow sent me two congratulations letters on the award, by the way.
Fantastic. We're going to allow one of the guests to come in right now. Some of us know him. One of us works with him. It is indeed Philip Lavelle, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. How are you, boys?
Good, how are you?
Doing great.
Hi, Philip.
I would just like to say to all ASU Nation, you're welcome. I was the problem. As soon as I leave, like, they're just good again. I actually looked right before I joined. While I was there, ASU 16-25, and now they're 5-1. So it's I was the problem. Herm Edwards, Ray Anderson, Philip Level, we were the problems.
Phil, I don't think you can take all the blame, because when I was in high school and in college, I never had a good football team. So,
no, same. I had the exact same effect. I think it's just our class, so, the class of 2024. Yeah,
COVID class. We were cursed.
Oh yeah,
we were very cursed. Clearly,
my high school team was pretty good. But
Jeffrey, who cares? Anyway,
I'm class of 2023, so there's a difference.
Who?
Who? Oh, is there an owl in here? My gosh.
How about South Carolina, though?
Are they beating up on Bama?
They're doing good. Yeah, they're beating up
19-14.
Oh, they're up now. They're winning.
Is Bama wash? Question.
Yeah. Dude, if you lose to Vanderbilt, you're washed. I'm sorry to say.
Oh, dude. That's exactly what it is. Man, go back to the conversation we had. Vanderbilt's not bad this year.
Watch Vandy beat Kentucky. I would laugh so hard.
Diego Pablo.
That's true. If Vanderbilt wins against Kentucky today in Lexington, I'm going to scream. I'm going to riot.
Diego Pablo is a nice quarterback. He's going to lead them to 6 wins, and they're going to make a bowl game. Book it now.
Philip, there's no way Kentucky goes from Ole Miss to Vanderbilt.
Well,
and loses Vanderbilt, but wins against Ole Miss.
Georgia to Vanderbilt and then lost, so...
Okay, you have a very fair point. I just don't want you to be right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do we think that the college football playoff missed an opportunity in just dropping Bama even lower than 7th?
That was actually kind of asinine. The fact that, like, there were so many losses, and then, like, you look at Bama's loss compared to some of these other losses, and it's like, how do you only drop them 6 spots? Like, I get Bama, and historically they have, like, the reputation and stuff, but, like, a loss is a loss, and especially to a team that you're absolutely supposed to beat in front of a half-size stadium because it's under construction.
Stand up and show everybody the polo right now, please.
Me?
Stand up, Jack.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, there was a bad loss, and Mizzou was supposed to be dropped, but, like, how do they get dropped significantly less or more than Bama? Because Bama lost.
Because they're Mizzou. That's why. It's because they're not taken as serious as Bama.
But still, like, sometimes the AP poll does that kind of crap, and it's annoying. So annoying. Like, it's not based off of the name. It's based off of what you see on the field. And again, I'm not trying to say, like, Mizzou played well or anything last week. That obviously was not the case at all, unfortunately. But, like, Bama didn't play well either. Milroy been the last 2 weeks? He's throwing nothing today. He did nothing last week. So
the difference between Bama and Mizzou would be that Bama has a quality win in beating Georgia, and Mizzou has their best win is Boston College. Win.
We have a top 25 win.
Okay.
Do you have a top 5 win?
No.
Because beating a top 5 Georgia team.
No, but you can't say we don't have a quality win when we've beaten a top 25 team.
Yeah. You don't have as quality of a win as Bama. That's though. Not what I'm I get where Phil's coming
as
from.
As good as Bama's win, but you can't say we don't have a quality win. We've beaten a top 25 team.
I'm going to try and
so is ASU.
I'm going to try and
I'm not arguing that.
I'm going to try and add someone else now. This person seems to not have their camera on, but I just want to see if they're even paying attention. So I'm going to add them prematurely here.
We're going to have a five box. What is
we're going to have a five box for the first time. Mason Byers, welcome to the show. See if he's speaking. I have no idea if he's here. I'm pretty sure he's here. Yeah.
It's the Undertaker.
I'm here. I'm here. What's
up, brother?
I'm here. Why would I not be here?
What's up, brother?
Hello, brother.
God. All right.
I'm here.
We're going to be the most obnoxious show in the world today.
What do you mean?
So, Mason. How was your night?
Oh, I didn't go. I didn't go to Casa. So
what?
No.
Whoa.
You teased me for nothing?
You weren't there, so I felt bad.
I'm talking to the DA of Arizona, and I'm gonna have you locked up for 10 years. That's teasing is not acceptable.
You weren't even there. What's the point? Oh, I like it. Hell yeah. I like how we were crapping on Mizzou, but you know, family growing up here in Arizona, ASU fan, Kenny Dillingham. That's what I'm going to name my son. Cam Scatabow, Scataboo, Scatatouchdown, Scatatruther. That's going to be the name of my dog. There's nothing else I want in life, honestly. I think my life is pretty much complete after last night. I'm pretty fulfilled as a fan. Sam Levitt, I feel like we need to give him more love. Probably the most underrated transfer in all of college football. That kid can actually ball, and we got our future quarterback. We're doing good. Living
and our
life.
Current quarterback.
Facts.
Exactly. We're doing amazing.
Hey, raise your hand if you think it's too late in the season for Mizzou to be playing UMass today. Thank you.
What was your quality win, by the way? I've yet to find it.
Boston College was top 25 when they beat.
Oh my God! Stop it right now.
Top 25 win. Hey, but I'm sorry. Is your team winning 31-3 right now? Oh, hey, go! That's like a 70 or 80 yard touchdown. Come on, that's 37-3. I don't care who we're playing. All right.
Wait, you Jack.
Jack. We're adding fuel to the Jack. Fire. Our slogan is something to prove, and you guys keep asking us to prove something. So, damn it, we will.
Jack.
We'll prove something.
Wait, is Bobby Witt next to you on that couch? Is Bobby Witt Jr. next to you on that couch right now, sitting on his ass at home?
Hey, you can make fun of the Royals all you want. They lost 106 games and are only the second team in MLB history ever, the season after losing 100-plus games, to make the MLB postseason, and the first team in MLB history to ever win a series in the postseason the year following a 100-plus loss season. So I don't care where Bobby is right now. They just made MLB history, and you're sitting on your couch too, not even getting paid to play in the MLB because you're a bum.
That's tragic. That's tragic, Jack. That's tragic.
I'm right.
You're crashing out.
Are you good enough to make the MLB? No.
Oh my God.
The White Sox. They might call me up here soon.
Okay. You have a point there.
The White Sox might call me up soon.
The White Sox, their AA team, could probably play better baseball than they played this year. I'm not even joking.
They might.
I'm not even kidding you on that one. But how about those Motor City Gritty Kitties? Am I right?
What?
Oh, yeah.
The Motor City Gritty Kitties.
Who?
The Detroit Tigers. Motor City Gritty Kitties.
Is that what they're calling them?
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling them.
They're the gritty.
They're the gritty Tigs or they're the Gritty Tigers. I'm like, they're playing the Motor City. You gotta ride it. You gotta keep the streak going.
They also have ASU legend Spencer Torkelson on their team, so we're rooting for them. I'm rooting for them, at least.
Torkelson, underrated.
Exactly, the GOAT. Probably better than half the league, honestly. Probably the best player in the league. Fuck Aaron Judge.
SEC, buddy.
We're not on radio. This is a podcast. It's fine. We're not on Blaze anymore.
Yeah, if this was Blaze Radio, I'd probably we'd get off the air.
This is for you.
Where's GDP?
You listening?
Where's Schwager at for the Cracker Barrel reference?
Oh God!
You're not even the first person to make that joke today.
Oh my God, really?
About the second or third, yeah.
It was iconic, though.
It was truly remarkable.
It was quite iconic.
Hey, what do we think about is Arizona going to beat BYU tonight? Yes or no?
Yeah, it's in Provo. Provo, that play, you can't win there on the road. It's so impossible. It's such a cult that, like, you just can't win there.
I don't know.
I just think Arizona's not going to win a game the rest of the year.
I hope so.
I think they're cooked.
No, they're good.
Mason just went dark.
They'll beat us. I still feel that.
Big 12 after dark.
Look at this journalism student figuring out vertical versus horizontal camera right now. This is
using my phone, bro. What are you talking about? I'm using my...
Turn it.
What are you talking about?
I don't want to turn it.
Yeah, you got it like this, and you turn it like this.
Oh wow. I hate this.
Wow,
I hate this
look
angle.
At that.
I hate this angle. I'm going back. This is like
going blanky mode.
Master Chief.
There is a subtle absence of one of our hosts today, Jacob Jones. Not sure where he's at. I think he's partying way too hard right now.
We saw the group chat last night. I woke up at 11:45. So.
No, he's on fire. Jones right now, I don't care what he's doing. He's on fire, and I'm fine with it. He has my endorsed party. He's been staying up all night at Casa. I get it, Jones.
I went to bed at 6 a.m.
Probably.
I know you guys talked about it, but I think it's so stupid that they didn't let us take the goalpost. I find that quite dumb. Like,
that goalpost had a future as a surfboard.
Yeah, sure. I agree. I was gonna bring it to Jack's doorstep in Nebraska, and
per some tweet, you may have been able to cash $1 million check.
Oh well, would I have cashed? Would I be able to cash it?
Not yet.
One day.
Yeah, one day. Someday in the future, when I'm dead.
I'm gonna be devil's advocate here. I don't even know if we should have taken down the goalpost. I don't know if it was like a big enough win to necessitate taking down the goalpost. Like, we deserve to be there. It's like just a normal Friday night in the park. Like,
it's not,
we're beating our Big 12 rivals. It's not like we're super unfavored to win. Like, you know what I mean?
It's not the 16 ranked team that it's about. It's the fact that the preseason poll had us finishing last in the Big 12, and they had Utah finishing first, and Kenny Dillingham, and Cam Scott a touchdown, and Sam Levitt, and this entire ASU family went in there and made Rising sign up for a LinkedIn profile. That's what it's about.
And I will say this right now.
He's going to be retired after graduation. Man.
I will look directly into my camera. You two called me Mad Men at the beginning of the year, when I said that ASU might actually have a chance this year. Yeah. You two said I was crazy. And Jones, wherever he is, said I was a madman. Look at me now. Huh?
I was wrong.
5-1 is kind of crazy.
You know what's crazy, though, Jeff? I have not heard you say I was wrong last year when I called you a madman from Missouri. Are you a big enough man to say I was wrong? Because you were wrong. Say the words. Say the words.
Say the words, brother.
I was wrong.
Say the words, brother.
Say it. Yeah, that's right. You almost got it.
I was wrong. Mizzou was Mizzou was decent at football last year.
And then
they just completely forgot how to play the game when they played, when they played Texas.
5-1. We're going to have the same record as ASU.
Oh, man.
Whoa. So, I mean, we have the same record as Bama, too. So.
Exactly.
We want Bama.
Exactly. We want Bama.
Actually, we want Vanderbilt. Yeah, I want Vanderbilt.
We might actually have a better record than Bama after today. They're losing.
And again, Mizzou had to go to a hockey. Mizzou had to go to a hockey school today to play football. How about Cal? Can we talk about Cal for a second?
Make it. They almost had it last week. They almost had it.
I-E-T-T-O-G-O. Jaden Art has got to go.
Oh my God!
Sorry, I had to.
God, we were obnoxious too.
So what me and my coworkers were calling that game was the Woke versus Coke Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's actually amazing. That's actually fantastic.
I don't know about that one.
Hey, Cal should be thrown out just for losing to FSU. Honestly.
There was Jeff, it's funny you bring that up because I had so there was, long story short, back in high school, I had done this mission trip with my church in Ecuador, and then we had a 10-hour layover in Miami. And so because it was 10 hours, the whole group, we were kind of just exploring Miami. Within an hour of being in like downtown Miami, I see this huge sign. The first thing it says is like, no loud music after 1 a.m. or something like that. The second thing is like, no revving the engine or something like that. And the bottom one, no Coke. And I'm like, is it that serious of a problem that you have to have the sign? And it clearly is.
Ask Michael Irvin.
Gentlemen, we finally have him. He's here to talk about the Arizona State Sun Devils. The team that he went to CASA all night for. I'm sure he just got back home from CASA just now. Jacob Jones is awake. He is alive and well.
Sorry, boy.
After storming the field, his voice is probably lost.
That smile does something to me. That smile does numbers on me.
That's crazy.
Dude, we got a squad in here. What's good, boy? Sorry, I'm late.
You're so all right, man. Jones, we've already talked about how the goalpost had a bright future as a surfboard. We talked about how dare they steal that from us and how blessed we are that Kenny Dillingham is our coach. Just walk us through your moments because you were there at the game. You know how it all went down. What was the moment you realized, oh my God, there's a chance I'm storming the field tonight?
I'd say the first half. ASU had a lot of momentum going into halftime. I think once I saw Cam Rising play, and I think anyone who watched the game just saw that Cam Rising didn't look right. It looked like he wasn't very comfortable out there. It looked like his arm angle was weird. It's not the usual arm angle usually he throws with. I said, hey, if we can make this kid throw the entire night, we're going to win this game because he's not comfortable. And if we can get Cam and Scat going, but to say I was fully comfortable probably wasn't until that Cam Scataboo run for 50 yards.
That 50-yarder was
tear down the field because Utah, to their credit, came back and Cam Rising got very comfortable. There we go, very 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 fast.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull up some video while you're. There we go.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. But yeah, once Cam
almost back
that 50-yard run.
You grew up in this town. You're an alum.
We all knew.
When you
look
around and you see this moment, what's it like for you?
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you were.
He was one of us.
He was one of us. One of us.
That's the most hype post-game interview of all time. I just gotta say.
Coach, incredible.
I love my coach. I love my coach. Why do we have to have Herm Edwards?
Unbelievable. Oh, Sean Aguano.
No, Sean Aguano did great. Sean Aguano was awesome.
Someone save Sparky.
Someone save this man.
You can't dog him.
Sparky is absolutely drunk. Yeah.
Well, we need a dog on Antonio Pierce.
Oh my God, Antonio Pierce put us in ruins. Crazy how this happened.
He put us in ruins.
He's in trouble now. He's in some big boy timeout.
Cam was not rising. He was descending. Kenny Dillingham was ascending. We're so back. So back.
Rank us, cowards.
This exactly. is actually the shirt I wore to the game. So this is, actually, I have not.
Did you really?
Can I have that shirt?
He just came off Millav. I know it. I know it.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, you got it.
But man, what an awesome game. What a game that one, if you're ASU, you needed. I know it's hard to say that in terms of like a game and weeks. What was it? Week 7, week 6 of the college football season. Mm-hmm. But you seriously needed this game just for confidence wise going into the Cincinnati game 5-1. Kenny talked about in his post game presser, our over under the season was 4.5 games. And so he was making jokes to the media like, hey, all the Sun Devil boosters that bet the over, start putting that money back into the collective. Like you got it. But this game was so important. You're on national television. You're playing the number 16 team in the nation. I don't care if you're number 16, you're playing on ESPN on a Friday night. Like, you're getting eyeballs on your program. And not to mention, Cam Rising is back at quarterback. People are going to tune in the game just to see Cam Rising back. And you go out and you whoop him and you make Cam Rising look foolish. I don't care if his finger was still hurt. You made him look bad in that game. And Cam Scatterboo, another legacy game. And then you go and rush the field. And then Kenny Dillingham jumps into the pile of students on that field, basically surfing the crowd. It was just insane. It was insane. And
it was a movie. It was a movie.
It was a movie. And let's just pray that the football gods keep smiling on ASU, because it would be the most ASU thing ever for us to go to Cincinnati Bearcat Stadium next weekend and just and lose. Okay, I don't know where we're halfway yet, but this was a great, great win.
So we're halfway through the season. Do we want to revisit the games that we picked in the beginning of the season? And now,
Jeffrey,
look at it.
I was thinking about that last night. I was thinking about that last night.
Let's do it. Okay. Like you said, ASU versus Cincinnati next week. Cincinnati is 3-2.
Yeah.
And they don't look like Cincinnati's of the past.
No. They look like Cincinnati's that have joined the Big 12 recently. Like last year, they weren't good at all in the Big 12 in their first year. They're struggling again too.
But okay, so how do we want to do this? Do we want to go like Ben, me, Jack, Jones, and then guest pickers?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. We can do that.
Ben, who do you got? ASU Cincinnati.
I think I'm with Jones. It's the most ASU thing ever to go from this to losing the next week. So I will have Cincinnati just purely because it is the most ASU thing ever to do that.
I believe in momentum. I believe in a team finding their thing moving forward. ASU just beat Kansas, who is not as good, but they were still ranked in the preseason poll.
Right.
Their team just beat Kansas
1-5.
They just beat a top 20 Utah team with Cam Rising. It's like it's not Cam Rising of old, but it's still Cam Rising. And now they're going to go into Cincinnati and they're going to steamroll the Bearcats. Give me ASU.
So I don't think they steamroll them, but I'm looking at these offensive stats for Cincinnati. Headed into this week's game for them, their starting quarterback, his name's Brendan Sorsby. He has thrown 1,400 yards. That's like not a lot at this point in the season. 12 touchdowns. I will give him. He's only thrown one pick. But their rushing game, their highest rusher this year only has 413 yards. This offense is going to do nothing, especially against an ASU defense that has actually looked really, really solid so far. I think ASU's defense is able to get the job done. They are able to win by 10 points, and they roll on. I'm with you, Jeff. I think the momentum is in their favor.
I'm super stuck on this game still, just coming off of last night, because I haven't watched the full college football slate yet, so I'm still waiting to watch Cincinnati this week, because I do believe in momentum, and I think if Cincinnati pulls off a win this week against UCF, they totally could come into that game with a lot of confidence. I do have ASU with the edge, but like Jack said, don't expect us to steamroll Cincinnati. The game's at 9 a.m. Arizona time. Have to travel out to Ohio. There's a lot of things that look a little iffy. I do want to give the edge to ASU, but I am worried about this whole, you know, undisciplined Kenny Dillingham football. At times, I feel like Kenny doesn't have a lot of control over his team because he's so fired up that it kind of gives the players the option to be fired up as well. But going back to next week, I got to say ASU because at a certain point, it's just Cam Scataboo's game. And Kenny said it, like sometimes you just it's Cam time. And I think eventually it'll be that next week. So give me the doubles.
All right.
Oh, is it my turn?
Go ahead.
You got okay, it. Well, it's funny Ben said, you know, it's an ASU thing for us to go into Cincinnati and lose, but this is a new ASU. This is not ASU of the past. Give me ASU. Easy. Give me ASU.
Go Devils.
This is a new team. This is a new aura.
Mason's making me fired up right now.
We're going. We're going for it. 6-1, bowl eligible after Cincinnati.
It's crazy to think about.
Yeah, I'm also going to say ASU, but I would not be surprised if it's a one-score game heading into the fourth quarter. I could see it being like a scrappy type game, but I think ASU has the momentum, like you guys were saying, and with Cam Scataboo, I trust. Like Scata can, Scata will.
Scata Heisman. All right, so we just saw ASU handle one geriatric quarterback in Cam Rising. The week after Cincinnati, they're going to go to Oklahoma State and handle another geriatric quarterback, Alan Bowman.
So
what do we think? What ASU Oklahoma State? We've got some history there. Let's run down the line again, Ben.
I don't know. This one's trickier for me, I think, because if they do lose like I predict against Cincinnati, then I'm really not sure what's gonna happen in week 9. But
it's also at Boone Pickens, so it's not at ASU.
Yeah, that's difficult. Or actually week 10 because it's bye week, week 9.
Another bye week.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. I'd say Oklahoma State. I think I need ASU to prove themselves more on the road, but that's just me being a cynic. While everyone else is like, go Devils, let's go. I'm just the glass half empty kind of guy. Like, just appreciate it while we can.
I mean, you're not wrong. A
little sparky.
I mean, no, Ben, you're not wrong. I mean, the last time ASU was on the road, they got beat by 8 by Texas Tech.
Right.
Right.
And it's a stadium they'd never been to before.
Yeah. And to Boone Pickens?
No,
they played against them before. That's yeah, right.
But then the week prior to Texas Tech, they played Texas State and they only won that game by 3. Mm-hmm. So their road games this season have been two of their most highly contested games and or their one loss. So I think it's going to be a lot harder than people think to go into Boone Pickens, to go into those what are they called, the people that bang the paddles on the paddle people, you know what I mean? It's going to be really hard to go into Oklahoma State and take a win. Again, I'm going to wait until after the Cincinnati game to make an actual judgment on this, but like I like the Cowboys.
So Oklahoma State came into the year preseason top 25. They had a lot of expectations. I kind of was always of the narrative that I thought they were maybe a little overhyped. Ollie Gordon is like 75% of their offensive production this year. And nothing bad against Ollie Gordon, but when a running back is 75% of your offensive production, usually you're not going to be as good as people think you're going to be. Now, back to my point, they've started incredibly disappointing, 3-3 this year. They just got upset last week by West Virginia, and their head coach, Mike Gundy, is a very motivational guy, and he is ticked. The fact that you start this season top 25, you're no longer top 25, and your team is sitting right at 500 with a running back that is without a doubt a top 2 running back in the country. Oh, yeah. Mike Gundy is fired up. He is lighting a fire up all of their butts right now to get them motivated. And they, by the time the game rolls around with ASU, they are going to be looking at going 5-3, and that's what's going to happen.
Ollie Gordon, by the way, has 384 rushing yards on the year. Cam Scadaboo had almost 170 in one game.
Ollie has 384
total on the year.
Scada Heisman.
He didn't play week one, did he? Or maybe no, I think he did. Why is it so low?
ASU is in the best scenario they probably could have hoped for, because we probably all expected them to be 5-1 after Utah, but we didn't think it'd be to Texas Tech. We thought perhaps if we were going to lose only one game out of those six, it would be Utah. But to have 5-1 record after those six games, that gauntlet that they've already gone through, is nothing short of a miracle. It's incredible what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, ask yourself how many ASU fans around the country had the Devils 5-1 in week 7.
Right.
Beating number 16 Utah with Cam Rising at quarterback.
And they will get some bids to get into the top 25, a couple of votes. They probably won't get in, will have votes. Votes to get in.
I was talking to people last night that were yelling rank ASU and stuff. And it's hard for a team to have zero votes in the AP top 25 and then jump into the top 25.
Right.
But trust me, we're getting votes.
That could happen.
We're getting pretty close, but
now if they beat Cincinnati next week, I think there's a very good chance.
6-1, you have to.
A huge chance to be top 25.
Yeah.
And touching on the Oklahoma State game, there's one thing I want to touch on first that Jeffrey was mentioning about ASU on the road. So all these wins that we've been having, especially, you know, let's talk about Texas State, Texas Tech, losing to Texas Tech, you know, Wyoming, Kansas, Mississippi State, ASU, this was the need game, like I said before, because of our other opponents. Like, we weren't very impressive on the road, and so that's why I think, you know, these next couple games are going to be really important. When it comes to going to Stillwater, Oklahoma, though, that's a different atmosphere. It's like Texas Tech. It's Big 12 football. This ain't, yeah, let's go travel to Corvallis, Oregon, and play Oregon State. Go travel to Pullman, Washington. I don't care how passionate the fans in Pullman, Washington are. It's not Stillwater, Oklahoma. And Oklahoma State is 0-3 in conference right now. They're 3-3 overall. So you talk about a team that needs to get their you-know-what together, it's Oklahoma State. And Mike Gundy's going to be the dude to go get that. And it's just a tough place to play. I don't care who you are, what your record is. That's a passionate fan base. And you talk about the people with banging the sticks on the sides and making your life hell, that's Oklahoma State. So it's going to be a tough game. I do favor Oklahoma State in that one. But again, that puts ASU at 6-2, and I would take that every day of the week.
You know, no bias, obviously. I have no bias to ASU. Don't know why I would. You know, it's funny. Oklahoma State, another old quarterback. You saw what we did the last one. I mean, we've been saying, you know, Oklahoma State, a tough place to play. But you know who's a tough team to play? The Arizona State Sun Devils. Are you kidding me? Give me the Sun Devils against Oklahoma State. Tough place to play. I'll take the tough team to play. Cam Scada Heisman, Sam Levitt. We have the Kenny Dillingham is going to win Big 12 Coach of the Year. Are you kidding me? Give me the Sun Devils, baby. No bias. Obviously, no bias. Why would I have bias?
Of course, Mason.
I would not be surprised if ASU drops this game. Not to be a bummer after that.
Oh my god!
If ASU beats Cincinnati and then goes into the bye week like super motivated, excited, I could see them like kind of coming out cold after the bye and then starting off against Oklahoma State and just coming off to a slow start, being down maybe 14-0 in the first quarter, and then just not being able to come back from that. That's kind of what I'm thinking for this game.
All right, next week after Oklahoma State, UCF at home.
That's a good bounce back game. I think they can
easy dub. Not discuss. It's,
hey, you're talking about the 2017 national champions, guys.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about the 2025 national champions.
Not a funny joke. Not a funny joke.
That's hilarious. Love that.
Are we all?
I love that's on the press box, man. That's the funniest thing ever. They are so full of themselves. It's hilarious.
I think they still have charter buses that have it on their.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Sure, because when they first put the thing on the press box, they had all these signs all around campus that was saying 2017 national champions. They put it all over. The way we have number one in innovation on everything and everywhere and all the charter buses, that's what they did with the national championship.
Yeah, but we are number one in innovation. They're not the national champions. That's the difference. Man, talk about dating yourself, man.
ASU may have made up that award, but it's all right. We'll take it.
Hey, ahead of Stanford, ahead of MIT, ahead of Harvard, ahead of everybody,
ahead of UCF.
Dynasty.
Oh my god!
Put us in the Ivy Leagues.
Oh please! Oh wow! I think my class is already hard enough.
No, we can barely get past intro to coding.
Grammar for journalists is already difficult enough.
Where do I put the comma again?
Dude, I do that for a living. I don't even know, man.
All right, so we're all on ASU for that UCF game.
Yeah,
sources tell me this is a easy win.
Look, one thing I'll say on this UCF game is you better not lose, because you'll be people testing your viability if you do lose a game like that. Especially if the AP sees you and is like, "Hey, 6-2 ASU, why not? Why not put him at 23?
Why not?"
A lot of pressure comes with that little number that comes with your name. So Kenny Dillingham talks about pressure and all in responding to adversity. So I'd like to see, that better be like a 10-17 point win too. Let's not be, eking ourselves by against UCF. But I do have ASU. I mean, that's, come on.
And then the week after playing all the Space Cadets, ASU going to Manhattan, the Little Apple, playing Kansas State. Ben, do you want to start off the conversation on that Kansas State game?
Yeah, on the road, already a struggle. Against a really high-ranked team, a good opponent, not just a good one, but probably the hardest one in the conference. Yeah, it might be the Wildcats. And that's 0-3 for me. I've said ASU is 0-3 from here on out, which I don't know if I really like that. I really don't. Except for UCF, obviously. But, so what, 1-3? Yeah. I don't know if ASU is that bad. I think that record doesn't reflect how good of a team they are, but it might be how they come out anyway.
Out of all of the games to come coming on the year, Kansas State is favored 74.3% to 25.7%, according to ESPN. Every other game is kind of a toss-up for ASU at this point. Avery Johnson looks elite. He looks really, really good. I don't think ASU gets this win. And quite frankly, I don't think it's a game at all. I don't think it's close. I think the high-powered offense of Kansas State just absolutely throttles the ASU defense. And this is one of those weeks where Kenny comes into the presser and he's like, "Man, I'm tired of this team losing." You know what I mean? Because you'd come off in our minds, you'd come off a UCF win, but you'd want to beat a ranked Kansas State team. I don't think they're going to. I think it's going to be a boat race.
Yeah, I'm just going to say one name, and that would be Avery Johnson, who you just said, Jeff. He is the real deal. There is a reason Will Howard had to transfer away from K-State to Ohio State. Avery Johnson is just really, 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 really good. Playing in the Little Apple you don't go into the Bill Snyder Family Stadium and expect a win if you're the road team. And I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think ASU can compete for three quarters, but I think Avery Johnson and the Wildcats kind of put the throttle on in the fourth quarter, win by two possessions, maybe three, probably. I hope not three, but I think this is a game that just – K-State, in my opinion, right now is the favorite to win the Big 12, and I think they're going to show it why they are the favorite against a team like ASU, who is good, but they're still younger and still building to the point that K-State is at right now. And that's going to just be – it's just going to be really evident in Manhattan that week.
Yeah, yeah, I think that K-State's going to represent the Big 12 in the college football playoff right now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just how good they're playing. That's how good Avery Johnson is. I think there's only one way ASU wins this game. It's that if everything is firing all cylinders and everything is not firing all cylinders for K-State. That means it's got to be like a big Cam Scataboo and Jordan Tyson and Sam Levitt game, and the defense has to be crazy awesome, which happened last night. But these games are far and in between. So when you go into K-State, like, I'm not expecting us to win, but I'm also on the speculation train of the why not. That's why on this show I said, hey, I think the Cardinals are going to beat the 49ers in week 5, which happened, by the way. But
I mean, circumstances, but yeah.
Very true. Very
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
But again, I don't have ASU winning, but
there's always a chance.
But you're saying there's a 25%? You're saying
there's a chance.
25.7. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's basically 26.
I've gotten more for a lot less.
Interesting. So when you break down this game, you know, you look at two great teams. Avery Johnson,
great
player. Kansas State, I think they're actually pretty good. Probably could win the Big 12. The only problem is ASU's in the Big 12. So that's the only problem that K-State has to deal with. And, you know, we're talking about New York, big city, big dreams. Who the hell else do you want representing ASU? And then Kenny Dillingham, yes, running the show. He's going to be the mayor of New York by the time he leaves that freaking stadium. Are you kidding me? You guarantee it. Cam Scataboo, 3 touchdowns, Heisman, enters the Heisman finalist race right then and there. Forks up, baby. Don't get me wrong, Avery Johnson, really good player. It's a really good team. Nothing to take away from them. But unfortunately, they have ASU on their schedule, and it's just – it happens, you know. You don't want ASU on your schedule. You look at ASU, you're like, oh, dude, why does it have to be ASU? But unfortunately, Kansas State has that, and I'm going with the Sun Devils. No bias. I think it's pretty obvious why I'm going with the Sun Devils, and forks up.
I mean, hey, it's college football.
No bias, forks up.
He said he really said no bias, but
no bias, but forks up.
But give me the Devils.
Give me the Devils.
Like, just because I have a degree from this school doesn't mean I'm biased at all.
I want everyone. It's college football. Anything can happen, but I'm not gonna be picking the Sun Devils in that game.
Okay. And then this is another tough week right after K-State. A now as we speak right now, undefeated BYU team. Again, I don't think I kind of want to start this one, and then Ben can go after me. Unless Ben,
yeah, no,
do you want
to? I might have the same opinion as you.
I don't think, again, this is going to be a very close game. I don't think this is going to be. ASU doesn't beat BYU. I'm sorry. That just doesn't happen. Ben, do you want to?
No,
do you wanna...
I absolutely agree. We're going to see how U of A fares against them tonight. We're actually in just an hour here. So we'll see if they can fare any better than all the other teams that have tried to walk into that stadium. But I'm kind of with you. This is going to be a tough one.
It's BYU at Mountain America.
Yeah, it's not in Provo.
We're at home. We're not.
Tucson's
we're not in Provo. Right. They're playing there, but like, I know U of A is traveling there. I know BYU is traveling here, but even then, the Mormons control everything. They know what they're doing here.
So I've got one thing to bring up.
Bring
them. Does anyone remember the last time we played BYU? It was in Provo. And that was actually the start of the fall of ASU with Herm Edwards and Jaden Daniels. We started the season 5-0, and then, you know, we go into Provo, butt handed to us, butt handed to us. It was not even close. Me and all the boys, we turned the game off in like the third quarter. It was that bad. That was the last time we played BYU. You know what Kenny Dillingham saw that night? He saw an unmotivated team. He saw at school, at his alma mater, just completely blow it. You know, and the whole future, the whole regime, the dynasty, it was gone. You know, sanctions, Herm's fired, Eastern Michigan. All this crap has to happen. And Kenny then finally comes in. And you know what Kenny cares about? He cares about ASU. He cares about his team. He cares about the Sun Devils. And he's going to go into that locker room and scream his head off that this is not going to happen again. We are standing on business. Forks up. We're not losing again. The Mormons don't stand on business, baby.
I'm about to run through a church wall, I swear. I'm about to run through it.
You're about to run through the whole Tabernacle Choir.
Oh, man. I don't know how I follow up that. That was crazy.
By saying the Sun Devils are going to win.
Jim. Jack, I know the exact game you're talking about. 2021, we were 2-0 week 3 going to Provo. We got whooped because we weren't ready for the atmosphere. That background's tough. Tough background. But I'll tell you what, Kenny wasn't watching that game. He was at Oregon at that time. Kenny doesn't believe in that rah-rah stuff. But there's a lot of things that can happen between now and November 23rd. And so it's hard to say what kind of team BYU is going to be. I think tonight's going to be a big game in terms of BYU's future because they play U of A. And U of A is this really topsy-turvy kind of weird football team right now. And I can't really get a grasp on how good or bad U of A is because I don't know. And that's kind of how I feel with BYU. There's so many question marks that people nationally may think they know. But I don't know. So when it comes to that game, it's hard for me to really point fingers and say ASU wins, BYU wins. But I'll get on the train as well. I think ASU has a really good chance of winning that game because there's something that Kenny talked about. I don't know if you guys have heard of activating the valley. Yeah. That this whole city is now bought in, and this is exactly what they need. And when we say bought in, I don't know if any of you were at the game last night, but that was a packed house. And Kenny has brought this city together. And it's no joke, man. This team is for real. And we got like this like little 5'2 running back named Cam Scataboo who just refuses to be tackled. We got this defense that's like above average. We got this head coach who's got fire in his gut. And trust me, he ain't taking the bus. He's walking to work. He's walking to work. That's his work ethic. That's Kenny Dillingham.
Does he have fire in his gut?
Kenny Dillingham. And when he talked about his press conference late in that 2022 season, tears in his eyes, he asked to activate the valley. That's what he said. We went to the ASU men's basketball game later that night. And got on the microphone and asked us to activate the valley. Asked us to pack some stadiums. And it didn't look pretty in 2023. Getting beat by USC and losing to Washington State in front of 500 fans at then Mountain America Stadium. But things have changed. Oh, yes, sir. Things have changed. Let me know. And I'll tell you right now, on November 23rd, 2024, Kenny Dillingham. And his Arizona State Sun Devil football team. He's going to walk through that Tillman Tunnel, dap up Pat, take on the BYU Cougars from Provo, Utah. It'll be a tough game. At some point, we're going to just be handing the ball to Stat every play. But at the end of the day, boys, ASU.
Come on! Let's go!
So cinematic, man.
That was hype. That was hype.
It was pretty hype.
Yeah,
it's cinematic. I didn't know what to say for a while. So I could
motivated by my speech. How did that make you feel?
I'm not gonna lie. There's a temple down the street. I think I'm gonna bulldoze it. I'm just gonna run right through it. I'm motivated, and I want to run through so many walls right now.
It's time for a hate crime.
Oh god.
You know, I just love the energy that Jack and Jones brought. Obviously, there's one thing major about this game. It's in Tempe, ladies and gentlemen. Provo doesn't know how to party. Tempe, Mill Ave knows how to party.
Yeah, they don't know what beer is.
Not only are we going to dominate this game on the field, we're going to dominate this game at the bars after the field. We're going to dominate it. And you know what's going to make Provo fans even more mad? Yeah, we sell alcohol. They can't drink alcohol. We're cutting off Diet Coke sales. They cannot get Diet Coke. Whoa. Only regular Coke.
No.
Coca-Cola, by the way. Coca-Cola. Only doing Coca-Cola sales.
Are you going to cut off the lemonade too?
No, absolutely. We're cutting off everything. Only caffeine and alcohol.
No Arnold Palmer.
This is what we're doing too. You know what? You know what Provo fans and BYU fans hate about ASU? We're called the Sun Devils. We have devil in our name. We got pitchforks. We have forks. And guess what? We're going to stab them right through the chest. We're going to run through their chest. We're going to run over them. We're going to pass over them. We're going to sack them. We're going to win this game in the trenches. We're going to win this game on the ground. We're going to win this game on the air. Hell, throw Sims in the game. He's going to pass for 500 touchdowns too. We're going to win this game. There's no doubt in my mind. And after this game, ASU will be a top 10 ranked team. Book it. College football playoffs. Here we come. Get ready to go to Tucson and whoop some butt.
Yeah,
force BYU, up. Just, no bias.
You sure just put the pass and pass over. Right, man?
Hey. No forks. No bias. Forks up.
Remember what happened last time that a team from Utah came to Tempe? Why not again?
Exactly.
And we were talking about how tough it is to go to like Oklahoma State, Kansas State, play on the road. It's tough to come to Arizona State and play in Tempe. We got our home field advantage now, and we're going to use it.
It's gonna be 100. It's gonna be 110 degrees in the middle of November at Mountain America Stadium. I just know it.
Yeah,
I just know it.
Because Kenny Dillingham's that hot.
Oh my gosh.
Woo! Yeah, we're drinking full caffeinated soda that night, boys.
Give me a Mountain Dew.
Do you do the dew?
All right, gentlemen.
Oh my god.
All right, gentlemen. It is time. Last game of the season.
Hey, week.
In Tucson. In the Dirty T, as some people call it. As Ben is looking around saying, what the hell is dirty around me?
Oh,
ASU.
No, it's everything.
U of A. The Territorial Cup.
It stinks here.
In
Jeffrey,
Tucson.
I want to say this because I know Philip and I are stuck down here right now in Tucson. I say stuck as in, like, I wish we could do the same work we do. Just anywhere else. This is the town where we have sent so many ASU alumni to go cover the U of A Wildcats this season. And every time they have to wear those dirty blue and red shirts over their proud maroon and gold. And I'm sick and tired of it. It's time to take what's ours. And what's ours is Tucson Stadium. That is our land. Stadium B. Mountain America 2.0. ASU country. Bear down? No. Wildcats down. Boom. Put them down in the grave. We're taking over. ASU, baby. By ASU. 90. ASU by 90.
Oh, gosh.
77-7.
77.
77.
Listen. I believe ASU is a team of dynasty, or a team of destiny is what I meant to say there. I believe that ASU can beat anybody at any given on any given Saturday, on any given Friday, on any given Thursday for that matter. I think ASU has the momentum. ASU has, I will say this, the best running back in the Big 12, better than Ollie Gordon and Cam Scataboo.
Right now, yeah.
I think this game is ASU pounding you into submission, running the rock at will, getting Cam Scottaboo, that little bowling ball built dude, and just pounding the crap out of you, because that's what they do. They run the rock right down your throat, and they're going to run for 500 yards, because that's what ASU does, what U of A does. They are an air raid offense. They have one of the best receivers in the league. They have one of the best air quarterbacks in the league.
What's Jack anyway, going on about right now?
Why is he? Why are you timing out?
You, dude.
Pause.
Vincent, pause. You're gonna jam it up their throat.
Dude. We're gonna pound them all night.
Yeah, dude.
What else is there supposed to say? What else am I supposed to say? Cam Scottaboo is gonna come out there. He's gonna be like, "Look at this! Look at this! Look at this, Wildcats! You know what? We got the wild scat.
Whoa!
That's what we do."
Oh, Jim.
Oh, baby. Let me ask you by 70. 70 doesn't happen again.
Oh, man. That's really.
Oh, Jim. This is getting turned to turn.
Oh, the tablets have turned.
Oh, Tony.
Tony.
Bartlett.
Hello, friends.
I'm there, Tony. Yeah, who you got? ASU, U of I.
Is it my turn?
Uh huh.
Okay, so Jeff, you brought up Cam Scattaboo, in your opinion, the best running back in the Big 12. Well, unfortunately for ASU fans, I think Arizona has the best wide receiver in the Big 12 in Tatora McMillan.
Fair.
And they also have Noah Fifita, who has proven himself to be a really solid quarterback. I think U of A is able to win this game because it's a rivalry game. It means more. Arizona fans travel well. They're going to pack Sun Devil Stadium.
It's in Tucson.
Oh, it's in Tucson. Oh, okay. So then, never mind. It's going to be a packed house for U of A. And it's going to go for Arizona this time, unfortunately. I think it's going to be close, though. And I think it's going to be a really good game.
Ooh, fighting for the cup. Fighting for the cup. I think back to last year's game of U of A absolutely impounding ASU on their own field. But this isn't last year's team. This is this year's team. And I'm sorry, but we had Jalen Conyers and Jaden Rashada at quarterback for the U of A game last year. Well, more than likely have an actual quarterback. And am I calling Jaden Rashada not an actual quarterback? You're right. Yes. Yes, I am. I'm so stuck in this game because it's on like November 30th, and that's so far away. And in my EA Sports Football 25 Dynasty, we've already beat them 105-7. So it's hard for me to really see a outcome that's not that. But I do have ASU winning that game. I think at that point, what I've seen from U of A so far has been unimpressive, and what I've seen from ASU so far has been impressive. And that's super important when it comes into a game like that. And I mean, I want Kenny Dillingham on my sidelines in my practice the week before the U of A game, getting my guys fired up to go get the cup. Like, don't forget, Kenny went to school here. He was a student manager, student, like what's the graduate assistant on the football team.
Yeah.
He has held the territorial cup before. And he was head coach in the team that lost by like 40 points last year. And so I know Kenny doesn't believe in that kind of stuff, but you better believe in that kind of stuff when it comes to U of A, because it matters a lot to people down in Tucson, and it matters to people in Tempe too. But in Tucson, there's no professional sports team. So U of A football is their NFL team. U of A basketball is their NBA team. Like they don't want to cheer for Phoenix Sports because that's not their land. Like that's not their grounds. But I think ASU is going to walk into that sunny November day in Tucson, Arizona, and we're going to win that game, because at the end of the day, ASU is the better football team this year than U of A.
Some breaking news. Jalen Milroe has had a 7-yard rushing touchdown, giving Alabama the lead. They're up 20-19 with 2 minutes left, and they do have the football.
Alabama. Wait, who is Alabama playing?
South Carolina.
Wait, Alabama just scored again.
Just now.
Boo.
But if they go for, well, if they can't get an extra point, it's still an 8-point game.
Mizzou will beat them in a couple weeks. All right.
Well, if it was at Faroe, I would say yes, but it's at Denny Bryant. So,
just to be clear, ASU has the same record as Alabama. Think about that.
Stop the count.
We want Vanderbilt. So
hold on. How did Bama pull Mercer in 3 weeks? They're playing Mercer on November 16th.
Because they paid Mercer $2.5 million to say, "Hey, come to Tuscaloosa in week 12." That's how that works. Walking out of the stadium last night, ASU fans were chanting, "We want Vandy."
We want Vandy.
That's valid. That is what we want.
And did I lead the chant? Was I basically grabbing the goalpost? Yeah.
That is what we want, brother.
Why would we want Bama? Bama lost. So we want Vandy.
So I don't want a loser.
Loser. All right. Mason, ASU U of A Territorial Cup. Ready, Psycho?
Well, here's the thing about this game. You know, we go into Tuscan, Tucson, the T, whatever you want to call it. Not really familiar with that territory. Maybe I'll come visit Ben and Phillip and try to rescue them. I'm not really sure yet, but there's one thing about this U of A team. You know, they got a dynamic duo of losing and no one wanting to be there. No, I'm just kidding. Viftia and T-Mac, they're good players. They're definitely good. But, you know, we have a better duo, and that's courage and pride. You know, that's forks and up. That's Sun Devil. We have a better duo. We have Cam Scataboo. I mean, do you guys understand how good he is? Please. Everyone's like, oh, he's the best running back in the Big 12. He's the best player in the country. He's the best player in the country. And when we go there in Tucson, everyone's like, oh, 70-7 again. No. You know what's better than 70-7? 70-0. We're going to shut him out. We're going to score in every damn possession that we have. Touchdowns only. We're going to get Trenton Bourget in the game, the last regular season game. Trenton Bourget is going to come in and get a touchdown because he deserves it for everything he's done for this program. We're going to make sure he comes in and gets a touchdown because he's done so much for us. Levitt's going to cook. The defense is probably going to get 18 interceptions, probably going to forfeit the game. And we're going to take back that Territorial Cup back to Tempe. And you know what's going to be in that Territorial Cup? Cam Scataboo's Heisman and ticket to the Peach Bowl. We're going to the playoffs after this win. Tucson is going down. We run Arizona. We run Arizona. Forks up.
He's so bad.
And now to Sam Levitt's long lost brother, Philip Levitt.
It's close. It's Philip level, but
oh my gosh.
Not today it ain't.
Correct. Yeah, not today it ain't. It's very close.
Jones,
very,
what the hell? Close.
Change it.
Courage in what, Jim?
Here's what I'm gonna say about this Territorial Cup. We could lose every other game heading up to it, but if ASU wins this game, I will call it a successful season. Like, I don't know necessarily what's going to happen in the game, but this just means more than every other game leading up to it. So
I'm going to commit right now. I think I'm taking the day off of work for that game for sure.
Dude, I want to go down so bad. I want to, after last night, I almost bought tickets to the U of A game.
I'll be there.
Like, buy tickets to the Peach Bowl, apparently.
Yeah, buy tickets to the Peach Bowl.
Atlanta bound.
We're going to the Peach Bowl. We're going to the Natty. And screw it. We're going to go down to the FCS and get their natty, too. We're going to take all the natties. I want all of them. I want all the natties. Give me all of them.
I'm going to go beat South Dakota State. Yeah, we're gonna party in the streets of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, after we beat the Jackrabbits.
Canary Country.
Canary Country. Gosh.
I hope you guys know I'm putting Kenny Dillingham's name on that November 5th ballot. Kenny Dillingham for president.
Dillingham Scataboo.
If just 100 million voters fill in Kenny Dillingham's name,
it's true.
You know how many Scataboo burritos I've had from Burrito Express this week?
I probably supported the rest of his college tuition via me eating all of his burritos at Burrito Express.
That's crazy.
I just checked. Kenny Dillingham's not old enough to be the U.S. president. You have to be 35, and he's 34.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
He's too young.
Well, we're going to change the rules for him. I want all the natties. Give me all of them. I want to go. I want every single national championship. I want every single one. I don't care what the sport it is. I want every single one. ASU
football to the NBA finals.
Exactly.
You heard it here first.
The Stanley Cup is ours.
Oh, don't. But ASU basketball is in season. Oh, my God.
World Cup, too.
Jaden Quaintance is going to change the world.
Yep, exactly. And so it's Jover for the rest of the.
ASU is going to be Argentina in the World Cup.
Well, if you think about it, who has more like motion and aura, Kenny Dillingham or Messi? I think Dillingham has more motion and aura, if we're being completely honest.
Do you see Messi? Do you see Messi jumping into a crowd, celebrating with the fans? Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Do you see Messi saying, "I was a kid like this once. I was doing this," and then just disappearing into the night, not being seen ever again. No. And that's the aura that Kenny Dillingham brings.
By the way, if you want to know how poor sported ASU fans are, check the Tempe Barstool account, because they were feeling themselves. Some dude, like, there's a video of a kid like walking up to Cam Rising.
Oh yeah,
and being like, "What's wrong, Cam? And what's wrong?" So,
see, that's, I don't support that. I'm gonna be honest. I don't support that. I need him filing my taxes in a year. I can't make him mad now. Can't make him mad now. He's like the Jack Golke of the college football, you know?
You saying Cam Rising is going to be doing your taxes?
Nick Golke is fine as an
under. He shouldn't, if we're being honest, he shouldn't have played that game. He looks so like injured still. Like, so it was bad.
And he got more comfortable in the second half, but that first half, I was sitting up in the upper deck, and watching the Jumbotron. They're doing like these slow motion replays of like his hand doing like this. I'm like, that's a weird motion for a quarterback to. And he was like throwing balls low, and he was, you know, he wouldn't like take long shots because he didn't feel comfortable. I'm like, dude, we're winning this game. Like we're winning this game. But it was so nice to walk out of that. Through, man, you know what I've been through. Like, you guys all went to ASU, but man, I'm like a lifer, dude. I'm like a real, real lifer. I maybe you guys might be a lifer in here too, but like going, like growing up in that asphalt of that parking lot that we go and tailgate in. I've seen a lot of bad games, a lot of bad coaches. The Herm Edwards era, the Todd Graham era, the Sean Aguano 8-game era. Dirt Cutter, God forbid, was there when it was still called Sun Devil Stadium. Let's go that far. And this program, like, this city hasn't been this connected to this football team since we beat Notre Dame at home in 2014. Like, it has taken that long for a city to gravitate towards a team. I think we were close in 2019 after we beat Oregon, but then COVID happened, so no one could feel connected to the team. We lost that momentum, and then we got our sanctions.
Do we want to talk? No, go ahead. Keep going.
But no, Jeffrey brings up a great point, though. But I think you were just going to say is the AP findings and the article that just came out, or the 47-page report.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll touch on that in a second. But I think that's great because that era is finally over. And Graham Stevens, new AD, went on 98.7, said that the best part about all that is that it's over. Is that for the first time in a long time, they can finally put that behind them. And for the first time in like 4 years, that's like the first time they could really say that. And I just love the vibe around Tempe right now, man. Everyone was walking out of the stand. They were high-fiving. People were hugging. People were high-fiving security guards. They were, you know, taking pictures on the field. It's like, that's what it's all about, man. That's activating the valley. And it almost brought a little tear to my eye. I was like, man, like this is like what I feel inside my heart for this school. And school pride for this university, Kenny's finally starting to like gather people around that same feeling. And I think if ASU can start winning and you give this town a winner, that's what you see. If you give the state of Arizona a winner, I promise you they'll come out. Arizona fans seem soft, and Phoenix fans seem like bandwagon, all this stuff. But if you give them a winner and you give them somebody passionate about, they will be passionate.
Speaking of a winner, Philip knows the results of the Alabama South Carolina game. He just saw something happen. Philip, run us through what just happened.
South Carolina just scored a long, amazing sideline catch touchdown. It's about like 30 yards. Oh. And then the quarterback just sails it through the back of the end zone and during the 2-point conversion.
Man. That's how it ends.
Bama, you.
I need to touch on what Jones was talking about, because, you know, Cronkite, not a lot of people from Arizona are from there. And I know Jones is a Arizona native like myself growing up here. I think my first memory was watching Brock Osweiler put on a Sun Devil uniform and play good. We have Taylor Kelly, who is a beast. Mike Bercovici, he came in and played good. Even Manny Wilkins, he didn't really lead us to many wins, but even Manny Wilkins did his thing. And then the Jaden Daniels era was pretty bad because of other reasons. So it's been a long time, I think, since ASU fans have had something to root for, especially like, because like besides like most of our athletics, besides like wrestling and swimming and stuff, like they don't really, like even our basketball team has been kind of disappointing as the past couple of years. Like we made the March Madness bracket like a couple of years ago, but we got bounced in the first round. So it's kind of nice. You know, I think one of my first memories is me and my dad watching ASU versus USC when the Jail Mary happened and he made that touchdown. That game and the Notre Dame game and even beating Oregon. I think this game last night kind of goes up with those ASU games. I think everyone should be happy that they have something to root for again, because it was pretty bad. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty bad being an ASU fan for the past couple of years.
Well, it was dire up in that press box last year. I mean, Ben can attest to that. Being in that stadium last year must have sucked too, man, because it was for certain points last year. Being at the game felt pointless, even as a media member. Like, what are we even covering? Especially like at halftime of the U of A game when you're losing 42-7. At that point, I was like, why am I even here? And I love ASU. I was like, what the hell am I even here for? Like, this is BS. But this is what you stay for. This is why you ride the pine. This is why you go through the crap years. So you can enjoy things like this. You can enjoy being 5-1 when you were projected to win 4 games. So, but I want to touch on what Jeffrey said earlier on this 47-page report that came out about the findings of the NCAA. And a lot of the stuff.
Wait. Philip just saw something. I don't know.
South Carolina, I want to get back to you. South Carolina recovered the onside kick.
Come in. Come on.
There's still like 4 seconds and they're down 2.
Philip, I'm going to need some live commentary right now. I'm going to need some live commentary.
I don't know what Alabama was doing. It went right through the guy's hands.
Surrender, Cobra. We got to surrender, Cobra.
It's just rolling on the ground and it bounces like in like. The Alabama player dies for it, bounces off his hands, and just Carolina recovers.
Oh,
and
no.
Now they're at the 50-yard line, down 2 with 40 seconds left.
I don't know, Jim. I would have put Patrick Mahomes out there on the onside recovery team order to get that one, Jim.
They jump on the ball, and Bama just couldn't end up with it.
We ain't the only school rushing this weekend. Wait, are they in Tuscaloosa?
They're at Bryant.
If Bama loses this game, what do you think their rank would be?
What do they rank right now?
They would go way.
A lot of clock is
like probably like 18, 19.
When's the last time they've been ranked that low?
Very close to 20.
Around last year, to be honest.
Yeah, they were last year.
Okay.
Oh, really?
South Carolina just wasted like the entire clock. Now it's 13 seconds, 3rd and 8.
Great. So like they might have just sold it after all that.
Defund the program.
Defund the program.
Wait, Philip, all they need is a field goal, yes?
Yeah, definitely. To win.
Wow.
Why are my student fees going to blowing games against Bama?
They're like at the 50. This would be like a 60-yard field goal.
I can see.
Yeah, they need a first down.
They need to put me out there. You know what we need? We need College Game Day to come to Tempe. That's what we need. I'm just saying.
That BYU is entertaining. Don't be surprised if College Game Day starts coming up.
I'm literally talking so much crap to get on that kicking thing.
Get McAfee live in Casa.
Oh,
dude.
My God.
Carolina threw a pick.
The elite.
Can't wait.
He just kind of threw it up there and it was a pick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was not even close.
Okay, but how does this affect...
What a waste of an onside kick.
How does this affect Kennesaw State, though?
How does this affect Kennesaw State's legacy?
How does this affect my Kennesaw State dynasty I have in college football?
They got to move down two spots because Alabama won. Sorry, I don't make the rules.
I agree.
We do have to wrap up the show here. I know we want to talk about the findings of the NCAA, so let's do that real quick, and then we'll finish it up.
So, yeah, so this report, I'm not going to go into all 49 pages of what this thing says, but there's a lot of troubling stuff in here and what Antonio Pierce was able to get away with. And a certain Washington Commanders quarterback's mom was involved in all this, in paying ASU football employees to go take recruits out on recruiting visits, which is illegal. Doesn't matter what this – it's illegal right now. It doesn't matter what the NIL or whatever, all these new stuff. It's illegal. Like, you can't do that. And just what AP was able to get away with, taking students to bars and clubs and adult men's clubs. I don't have to get too deep into that. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. Paying for their hotel rooms, and so he has order against him, and then Herm Edwards has a shorter. It's just, we got duped, I think, is the biggest thing that comes to mind. We got seriously duped by these guys. It's so upsetting. Like, so much hope going into that, like, 18 year with Herm Edwards and bringing the NFL guys, and we got duped. And it's just like, I'm just disappointed. Because it was a lot of crazy stuff in there, but it is behind them. That's the best part for me. It's behind them.
Well, here's the deal with AP. You look at his track record at ASU. What did he do? He ran the program into the ground. He had all of these sanctions against him for doing stuff that is still illegal, and then he goes and screws off to the NFL, to the Raiders, right?
Right.
And what does he do with the Raiders? So, and what does he do with the Raiders? He makes Devontae Adams not want to be a Raider anymore, right? He makes Devontae Adams just not want to play football for the Raiders. Wherever AP goes, he hurts. Period. End of story. And that's the same thing with Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards is great as a commentator on ESPN. He's great. He's great doing what we're doing right now, talking about sports. Should he be a coach in the NFL? No, because it's past his era. Should he be a coach in college? No, because he doesn't know how to recruit properly. He's perfect on a desk somewhere, and that's where he should have been in 2018. But you look at the previous AD in Ray Anderson, who was his client when Herm Edwards was a coach in the NFL, and Ray Anderson wants a buddy in his most coveted position. And that's why it took him so long to fire him, because he was like, Herm, I know I promised you this is going to be a good, easy gig, but it's not. Like, I don't know.
Well, Ray Anderson's also a hypocrite. Let's just look it in the eye and say he was a hypocrite. He fired Todd Graham after he beat U of A after a 7-win season, and then took 5 years to fire Herm Edwards. And that's what it is, but all this stuff about, like, their track record is absolutely true. I mean, ASU's highest win total of that era was 8. Mm-hmm. 8 wins in a year, don't do it, folks.
And we have Jaden Daniels, Brandon Ayuk, Ricky Purcell.
Doesn't do it.
Frank Darby, N'Keal Harry.
Eno Benjamin.
So you go around, you look at that.
You have a lot of NFL guys on that team.
But this is a new era, and ASU was defined by that era for so long, and winning solves a lot of things. And you start winning, you start beating teams like Utah, you'll start flipping that script. I think that's what's happening. But next week's going to be huge. Like, don't underestimate the importance of next week against Cincinnati, because if you lose that game, you fall right back into mediocrity. I don't care if you're 5-2; like, you fall right back into mediocrity, because at 5-2, you're just another team. But at 6-1, there's only a handful of teams in the entire nation that are going to be 6-1. And if you win next week, you're able to see that you're able to say that you're a 6-1 football team. So fire me up, coach. Fire me up, coach. Let's go, coach.
Free Todd Graham. That guy, he did a lot for our program too. I respect him.
He built that entire Jumbotron.
Yeah, I respect him.
He's on money.
Power to the people.
Power to Todd Graham.
But like Ben was saying, I think this will wrap up the episode with South Carolina totally blown into the Crimson Tide. Jim.
Jokes.
Jim, I just hate the freaking Crimson Tide.
Oh, it's not really red, Jim.
It's not even crimson.
What's a tide, Jim?